everybody. How are you doing today? I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Good show today, a really good show today. I'm looking forward to both of my guests that are going to be on the program. And before we do that, you know, sometimes I like to announce things that I'm grateful for. It feels good to do that, and I recommend that everyone think about things that they're grateful for, especially if you're in a moment where you're feeling a little down and out. Think about what you're grateful for. I guarantee you, you will feel better instantly. And that's not why I'm doing this right now. It's just because I really am grateful, and I just want to say it. So I've said this before, but I can't say it enough, and that is I am so grateful for my volunteer transcribers. You know, we do this program every week, and I usually have one or two guests, and I have these wonderful volunteers from all over the world, young and not as young as the young ones, older, and they volunteer and they transcribe my programs, and so it's a great resource. We have them archived on our program here on my Responsible Eating and Living website, and you can access them anytime. In fact, I use them myself. And the volunteers, they get something out of it too. I love when I get the feedback from them saying, oh, this program was so interesting. I learned a lot. And it's just a win-win all around. And I hope that you're taking advantage of it too. Now, since I am using volunteers, the transcriptions don't come up as soon as the program is archived. But they do show up a few weeks after. I put them up as soon as I can, in fact. Oh, I just realized that we had my next guest on about a year ago, Jim Hicks, J. Morris Hicks. We had him on last year in July, and we talked about a book he had written, Healthy Eating, Healthy Planet. And I always like to review the program, the last program I had with a guest before I speak to them again, just to refresh my mind what we spoke about. And, you know what? I just need to, I've got too many tools up here, and I need to text my guest. Please bear with me here, because he just texted me and doesn't realize that it's the studio that's going to be calling. And please bear with me. Anyway, so I just posted. I'm going to text and talk at the same time. I've just posted the old transcript from last year because somehow it dropped off. I thought I posted it, and I didn't post it, and I just realized that I didn't. So I just posted it anew, got to read it, and it's there. So it's there for you to look at, and I recommend that you do. And, okay, let me just text my guest here. Oh, good. Now we're all together. That's great. Anyway, so that's what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for my volunteers that are just awesome and transcribing away. And even when I drop one and don't remember to post it, I do get to it eventually. And they really are really very useful. In fact, somebody made a comment recently about butter and how saturated fat was good and how butter was good. And they were responding to an interview I did with Dr. Neil Barnard. And in responding to that post, I went to my interview with Brenda Davis, wonderful dietitian, and she and Vasanta Molina write terrific books together. My favorites are The Comprehensive, Becoming Vegan, and I went to my interview with her and grabbed the transcript from a section of it where we talk just about butter and saturated fat and how they aren't healthy and how the research shows that they're not healthy, and how she talked about this one particular new study that's come out about butter that said it was healthy. And she talked about how even one of the researchers on the article admitted that saturated fat wasn't healthy, butter isn't healthy, but they had to redesign this meta study that they did so that it could get published. Anyway, I'm grateful for the transcriptions that I have. I use them. I hope you do too. Now let's bring on my guest and friend, J. Morris Hicks. And he's the author, as I mentioned before, of Healthy Eating, Healthy World, and the creator of the four-leaf concept. And he has a new book, The Four-Leaf Guide to Vibrant Health. He's got over 900 posts, articles on his website. And he's been on the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies Board of Directors since 2012. And his new book just was published 2 weeks ago. Jim, how are you doing?
I'm great, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I'm glad that we were able to connect. I kind of had to multitask there, and it's interesting when you're texting and trying to talk at the same time what happens. But, okay, that's all past us now. You're a busy guy, aren't you?
Yes, and before we get started, I wanted to give you a little thank you, a big thank you. I don't know if you recall, but you have made a big difference in my life, in my career. Back in 2005, you arranged and hosted three separate venues at the same location, Zen Palette Restaurant, Union Square, and through those meetings, I met Colin Campbell and his wife, Caldwell Esselstyn and his wife, and Joel Fuhrman. And I ended up working closely with all three of those gentlemen, those wonderful scientists and doctors. And hadn't it been for you and arranging those events, who knows where I would be today and if I would have indeed written a book by myself. So I thank you for that.
Thank you. Well, I'll never forget when I first met you, this tall, slim, handsome, well-dressed man walking into my event. We didn't have a lot of those kind of people. We had all kinds of people, but you stood out of the crowd, and it was really lovely meeting you, and I really appreciate you sharing that little story. I'm kind of getting a little emotional here. We never know who we touch and what's going to happen as a result, and I'm really, really enamored with all of the work that you've been doing. I'm glad you found your path and that you're working very vigorously. I'm stuttering a lot here. Vigorously and passionately on that path. All right, let's get started now and talk about your newest venture, the Four-Leaf Guide to Healthy Eating. Do you want to tell us about it?
I sure do. Four-Leaf Guide to Vibrant Health. It began, I guess, a little over a year ago, year and a half ago, when a medical doctor in the Finger Lakes region, Dr. Carrie Graff, had recently seen Forks Over Knives and had become enlightened and passionate about whole food plant-based nutrition and was wanting to introduce her 800 patients to that way of eating in her medical practice. And so she was looking for ways and tools that would help her communicate that message because, let's face it, doctors only have about 10 minutes with each patient these days.
Yep.
So she found my four-leaf program website and my four-leaf survey, and at that time the only way to take the survey was to print it off and fill it out with a pencil. So she did that, and she really liked the concept of four-leaf, and she wrote me an email and said, I would like to find out if I can get your permission to use this stuff in my practice, this four-leaf materials. And so we got on the phone and talked about it, and I said, absolutely. I said, I created that four-leaf survey about 4 years ago, and no one has ever really used it very much. And so that's outstanding. And so one thing led to another. She's now the chief medical officer for Four Leaf Global LLC. Her assistant Kristen is our administrative manager. My son and his wife are involved, as is my fiance Justine Robertson, who's our CFO. So along about October, we decided to write a book together because she had a lot of stuff she wanted to put in the book that that would save her a lot of time in communicating it to her patients. So we decided to make it a four-leaf guide to vibrant health, using the power of food to heal ourselves and our planet, and make it about a 50-50 book, concentrating on healthy, on health for humans and also health for the environment. And, it was published 2 weeks ago today. It's now available on Amazon worldwide in Kindle and in, paperback.
Congratulations, and thank you for writing the Four-Leaf Guide to Vibrant Health. Let's talk a little bit about the survey. I took the survey a few minutes ago, and I am in level four, the four-leaf.
Well, I would be real surprised if you weren't.
I was very surprised to get that result.
But first of all, to define the survey, the four-leaf concept is basically a concept of eating based on maximizing the percent of your daily calories from whole plants. And that means it's not necessarily vegan or vegetarian, but it more than likely is vegan for most people that do it. But what it is it implies some wiggle room. In other words, you could eat 95% whole plants and have a piece of cheese on a cracker or something, and you would still be a four-leaf eater, is what we're talking about here. And as we know, in the world of vegetarians and vegans, where you and I spend a lot of time, a lot of them don't eat a very healthy diet. And that's because vegan and vegetarian pretty much defines what people don't eat, but doesn't define what they do eat, because you could eat nothing but Diet Coke and potato chips and be a vegan and wouldn't be very healthy. So we felt like we needed a new way to communicate healthy eating in a simple, you know, non-judgmental kind of format, which wasn't all or nothing, which was attractive, which was based on the positive being maximizing the positive foods instead of eliminating all the other foods. If you maximize all the positive foods, something's got to go, and it's going to be those animal-based foods. So we decided to use the definition that Dr. Colin Campbell came up with. He said, the closer we get to eating a diet of whole plant-based foods, the better off we will be. When I heard that definition, I said, that is it. All of this debate about what's the best diet style, even the veggie docs have a lot of debates about it. But I think they all agree with that statement, and I said we should have a way of communicating that to people and maybe set up some levels. So we set up six levels. The lowest level is the typical Western diet or standard American diet, under 10% of calories from whole plants. And the next level is better than most, which is better than most people eating the typical Western diet, and that's from 10 to 20% whole plants. And then from 20 to 40 is the one-leaf level. And one leaf sounds low on a four-leaf scale, but it's 5 to 10 times as many whole plants as the typical standard American diet. Mm. So 40 to 60 is two-leaf, 60 to 80 is three-leaf, and over 80% of the calories is at the four-leaf level. So we devised a simple survey, very simple. It's 12 multiple-choice questions. You can take it at fourleafsurvey.com. online, and you get an extensive report if you ask for it via email, but you immediately find out what we estimate to be your four-leaf level from one of those six levels just by answering 12 multiple-choice questions. And we have the first three questions are all about fruits, vegetables, legumes, and grains and potatoes, and that's where you get the positive points. And then anything other than whole plants that you're eating, you actually get negative points. And so the scores can range from minus 44 to plus 44. We put a lot of fours in there. And the four-leaf level starts at 30 points and goes to 44. If you take it online, you don't really know how many points you got, but you you can tell immediately what level you are. And if you go to fourleafprogram.com, you can learn a lot more about all of those levels. So we kind of have a system here. You know, we have a book, we have a four-leaf survey, and then when you go to your doctor, and he cautions you about not eating cheese, dairy, and meat, and that kind of thing, we have a letter that Dr. Currygraf wrote, and it's in Chapter 37 of our book. It's also a printer-friendly version at fourleafprogram.com, and so that's another tool that we have that you can give to your doctor easily, just print it off, or you can give it to friends who are thinking you've lost your mind for not eating meat anymore.
Well, that's great, and we definitely need more doctors on board, because most people rely on their doctors for nutrition information, and we know that that's not what they study in medical school, and there's only a handful that know about nutrition, although I want to think that the younger doctors today are picking up a little bit more on good nutrition, so that's good. And having a four-leaf system, people like data, people like numbers, people like to know where they are, so I think that's good. And I agree about making this lifestyle not what we don't do, but what we do. And I found that every time I've eliminated certain foods from my diet, my choices have expanded. And there's so many wonderful foods to eat in the plant kingdom. And unless you stop depending on and stop eating some of these other animal-based foods and processed foods and junk foods, you don't have the opportunity to experience everything that you're missing. It's a big, wonderful, delicious world of plant foods out there.
Certainly is. You mentioned the younger doctors. My fantasy would be to have some of these younger doctors, like Currygraf. Curry is a Cornell undergrad, summa cum laude. She went to med school and has been practicing medicine now for 20 years. There's another one, Michelle McMackin, who endorsed our book. Her endorsement is on the back of the book. She's an assistant professor of medicine at NYU School of Medicine. She's director of Bellevue Hospital Weight Management Clinic in New York City. Also, there's several other of these. Those two in particular, my fantasy would be to have the two of them appear on Ellen DeGeneres and talk about the future of medicine. Two young women who have sterling educational credentials. I think Michelle went to Yale undergrad and studied the humanities, and then she went to med school at Columbia, and now she's an assistant professor, and she's in her mid-30s, I think, a young woman. But these people have gotten the best educations, and all of a sudden they realize that their profession has some incredible failures, and it's costing people their lives. And for example, when Curry first saw Forks Over Knives, she told me she wished that all of those people in the movie, Esselstyn, Campbell, etc., she wished that they were a bunch of veggie loving quacks and she could just go about business as usual. But she realized, she did her study, she realized that everything was based on science and clinical evidence in that movie. And she said, well, I've got to change my practice. So without understanding how she was going to make a living teaching people how to get well, she just started making changes. And I think Michelle McMackin probably did the same thing. Kaiser Permanente has 17,000 physicians, and I'm estimating that less than 1% of those are basically promoting health with plant-based nutrition. But I do know of one of them, and we have communicated, and he has been featured on Forks Over Knives. His name is Dr. Stephen LaWinda, and he operates in Lancaster, California. So it's happening, but it's happening way too slow for my taste. At my age, you know, I want to be around to see the ecosystem start healing. And if we don't change what we eat in the Western world, our ecosystem is going to make it impossible for our civilization to continue, and things get pretty rough on this planet for my grandchildren.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, since we last spoke, which was July of 2014, your impressions were pretty bleak about what was going on with the environment. You had some ideas about how to change things in terms of getting some really wealthy people together to promote what we feel needs to be done. Anything good happened since that time other than or focusing on your four-leaf guide to vibrant health?
Well, yeah, a lot of good things are happening. A lot more people are getting on board. The Plantrition Project, my good friend Susan Benegas at Plantrition.org, Plantrician. The Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. There's a lot of great things happening. A lot of young doctors are picking this up, but there's still not enough communication about the overall impact of what we're eating. I kind of narrowed it down, and I said we really have four things that we're doing that are totally, grossly unsustainable for very much longer. One is overpopulation. We got too many people on this planet at 7.3 billion, and that's going to take decades, if not centuries, to get that under control. Then we have the way we consume, overconsumption. You know, our entire global economy is based on maximization of stuff and a consumption of stuff in a world of finite resources. And then we have those first two kind of driving the third one, which is basically our dependence on fossil fuels for most of our energy. And we still depend on it for most of our energy. And haven't made much progress there. So all three of those are going to require decades, if not centuries, to fix. But the fourth one is the way we eat. And conveniently, the fourth one, the way we eat, causes more environmental problems than the other three. It's the leading cause of most of our environmental problems, including climate change. So my feeling is that if we can get that word out, we have, and I'd suggest that we need some wealthy leaders. We need people that are credible, have well-known names, are respected, have integrity, and they're going to need a big budget in order to really create the kind of communication effort that will be needed to get to everyone. We don't have time to go through countries and bureaucrats and presidents and leaders and organizations. It's a worldwide system of feeding humans the wrong food, and what we eat determines how the whole world is used, and it's just not working.
But the good it's so frustrating, as you know, and I know.
Can change their diet tomorrow, can change tonight, and be totally eliminating the meat and dairy in just a few weeks. So if enough people change, we can make a huge difference in this world.
Yeah, I know you're as frustrated as I am sometimes, because we have solutions. We have solutions, and they're really not expensive to put into place. People can just do it on their own. It's just, I guess, the expense is in getting the word out and educating people and having them believe it. But the answers are there, and it makes you want to scream. And screaming is not really a good marketing tool, because that only pushes people away when you start screaming at them. But it really is very frustrating. I mean, I experience it on so many levels, including in my private coaching, where I'm helping people move to a healthier diet. There's only so much you can convey in a 45-minute session, and people have their own beliefs, and you have to be really careful transmitting the information. It's not like we can use that Vulcan mind meld technique and have people understand everything all in 1 second, although I really wish we could do something like that, because we have the answers. It's so frustrating.
Well, you don't have to reach all of the people to have a revolution. You know, I think if we were to had the budget to have a global, huge global communications effort to communicate the truth about nutrition from credible sources, from people that are respected on a global basis, and people will start changing when they start hearing that message four, five, six times a day from people they trust. And gradually people start changing their diets. And at certain points you hit a tipping point in terms of change. And I'm thinking that point is going to be around 20-25% of the population that is understanding that we've got to eat more whole plants and less meat, dairy, eggs, and fish. But we get to that point, I think we gain a lot of momentum, and all of a sudden it becomes like smoking. It ain't the thing to do anymore. It's just not cool.
Yeah, I don't think we're far from that.
I think we're a global leader or two or three with maybe $100 billion marketing budget. That sounds like a big budget, right? Well, some stupid app was just sold for $40 billion. Some smartphone app. I mean, $100 billion is nothing compared to the collapse of our civilization. And there's two people in the world that have that much wealth between them.
Yeah.
I can visualize a solution, and I'm working toward it, but going to need a lot of help.
So I agree with you on the big picture, and the big picture about eliminating animal foods and having people concentrate on whole plant foods. Such an important message. There are some fine points that not all of us agree on, and I don't think it's that critical, but I want to bring up one little point because it's really important to me. And you talk about how fruit and vegetable juice are not good choices, and I want to just clarify that because I really believe that green juice that is made from kale and collards and then kind of mixed with maybe celery and lemon and ginger, it's something that saved my life. And I don't want to tell people that that's not a healthy thing to do. And I've spoken with Dr. Russell Stan and Dr. Campbell about this a little bit. And I think what they're trying to do is have people understand that having fruit juice, which is primarily sugar, is not a healthy thing. But green juicing can be very effective, especially if you're in a crisis mode, to get immune system boosting nutrients into your body quickly.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, and I'm no scientist and I'm no physician, but Carrie, I think, wanted to make sure we had in the book that we pointed out that if you are loading up on getting a lot of your calories from juice, that you're missing the fiber, number one, and you get a sugar spike and that sort of thing. I juiced every day for the first 7 years of this, and I was extremely healthy then, and I am now. Hello?
Hello.
I'm not going to answer, obviously. But I finally got tired of throwing away perfect pile of fiber every day, and I just said, you know what, this is hard for me to do, and I just don't do it, but I certainly don't. I'm not against it.
Okay, good. Yeah, there are things you can do with the fiber if you have access to composting.
Right.
And I like to recycle my juice fiber as much as I can to get as much juice out of it. But it's not a bad thing nutritionally, and that's what I wanted to say.
So we
just have like a minute or two left, so let's just talk about your four-leaf guide to vibrant health once again and where people can find it and how they can take the survey and find out more.
Okay. Well, go to Amazon, four-leaf guide, and it'll come right up. And when you get to the page, it shows it's available in Kindle and at Amazon. If you got Amazon Prime, it's free. Kindle is under $8. I think it's $7.44 or something like that. If you buy the paperback, you get to buy the Kindle for $2.99. And our website at fourleafprogram.com has lots of things on there. Kristen Keyes is our webmaster, and she's adding recipes and cookbooks, and we're adding different tools that people can print off. We've got one that's the top 10 list of why and the top 10 list of how on the same sheet of paper you can put on your refrigerator. So it's under the toolkit at fourleafprogram.com, and print off some of these helpful tools that you can use in your home. So all of that is available. All the stuff on our website is available for free to the international public. We're also looking to license the trademark at some point, maybe for restaurants, maybe for grocery stores.
That'll be good.
But different ways to leverage the brand Four Leaf once it becomes more recognized.
Right. That sounds great. Okay. So everybody, take your Four Leaf survey and find out where you're at. And then we can talk about how you can move up to being Four Leaf or even Four Leaf Plus. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jim, so much for everything you're doing. It's really amazing, and you're helping changing the world. And I hope you get to see every change that you want to see before you move on to your next role in the universe. All right, thank you so much for joining me. Jay Morris Hicks, Four Leaf Guide to Vibrant Health. Let's take a quick break.